My aim this morning is quite a easy one. I mean, not easy, quite a simple one. Most of us have heard the Christmas story over and over, and my aim this morning is to make it real. As we go into this period of the year, to make it real, to realize that this really happened 2,000 years ago, and this really has actual meaning for our lives 2,000 years later. So how about I pray and ask for help, and then we'll get right into it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning, praising you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, we just ask for your help now that as we read this small part of your word, as we think about Christmas, Lord, that you would be opening our eyes just to see who you are and how we should live. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, making it real. Most of us have heard the Christmas story, as I've just mentioned, and the account from Luke is the one we are looking at this morning. But we're not looking at the whole account like we do each year. We're looking specifically and closely at Mary's prayer, Mary's song. But it is worthwhile to have a bit of a refresher about what's happening, right? So, as a brief reminder, Mary was met by an angel. The angel told her, "You're going to have a son." She believed him, but also, this wasn't just going to be any normal son, as he was going to be the Son of God, the King who would reign forever and ever. But the angel also told her that her old relative, who also had no kids, would have a child as well. And so after Mary meets the angel, she goes and she travels quickly to meet her relative. And as soon as she meets her, before she could say anything at all, Elizabeth cries out and tells Mary, the baby in my womb just leaped for joy because of the baby that's in your womb. And everything just became real for her. Mary realized what was happening at that moment. And that leads us to the song that we read this morning, the prayer that Mary cries out, and that's where we're going to be looking at. You know, when you buy a car, like for me, right? When I bought my 2018 white manual Mazda 3 Neo Sport, it was really weird because I realized as I bought that, everyone else, heaps of other people, must have bought it at the exact same time as me because I began to see it everywhere, right? The car was everywhere. I was like, what? They all just chose to buy a 2018 white Mazda Neo Sport. I'm like, wow, what a coincidence. Now, obviously, that's not what happened, right? What happened is I bought the car, I took notice of it, and then I began to see it everywhere. I was like, oh, this person had this car and this person had this car. And it's happened as well when a few of my mates, they've got their first cars, and I still see those cars now. I'm like, oh, it's Harry. No, it's not. That was, you know, his old car from 8 years ago. But that feeling of beginning to see that car everywhere because you've taken notice of it is kind of what I just want to do now quickly with this passage, because the Old Testament is everywhere. It's everywhere in this short passage that we've read. I don't even know where to begin. But on the next slide, the most obvious one is in verses 31 through to 33. This is the angel speaking to Mary about who Jesus is. And he says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And he goes on and he says, "He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Now, Jesus' father wasn't actually David, but this was fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy from hundreds and hundreds of years ago where God had promised King David, "You will have a son who will reign on the king, who will reign on the throne, who will reign over the world, who will reign over Israel forever and ever." This baby Jesus is the fulfillment of one of God's big promises of the Old Testament. But it's not just in verses 31 through to 33. There's heaps of other places throughout the passage that are ridiculous. And one of the biggest one that kind of blew my mind was Mary's song and Mary's prayer is actually so similar to Hannah's song and Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel. And we are going to have a bit more of a look at that very shortly. But even the content of the prayer is filled with Old Testament language from the Psalms. Like, those who fear the Lord, God will show mercy to. God has remembered his promises to Abraham. Like, it's all in there. And this should be telling us something, as we see the Old Testament all throughout this passage. That the Christmas story is not the beginning of a story. That the Christmas story is not at the beginning of a story, but it is actually God fulfilling his promises to his people. Particularly, God's promise of a Saviour King. God's promise of a Saviour King. What we are seeing here is God fulfilling his promises, which he made hundreds of years ago, in his Son, the Lord Jesus, in baby Jesus. So right from the get-go, we see here that when Jesus is born at the first Christmas, that Jesus is going to be a king who reigns forever and ever. Now, the next bit is probably not what you would expect. I mean, it's not what I expected. If you have a quick look in your Bibles at the prayer, because it won't be on the screen, I could understand how it began, and I could understand how it ended. Mary began by praising God, being like, wow, like he has looked on me in my humble estate. He has given me like this amazing thing. And it ends in a way that I understand as well, where she's talking about, and he's fulfilling his promises to Abraham, right? That makes sense. I can get behind that. But the next slide, verses 51 through to 53, confused me a lot. They said this. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. What does this mean? What does this have to do with baby Jesus being born? It's a picture of those who are poor and hungry and humble being lifted up, and those who are rich and have everything they need being brought down. And it's probably worth mentioning, it's not like communism where they're all kind of brought to an even playing field. It is evil as well, but to an even playing field. It's almost like an inversion where the rich become poor and the poor become rich. And this seems to be happening here. And what on earth does that have to do with baby Jesus coming to be born? Why is this in the middle of Mary's prayer? It has to be pretty significant if it's in here. What does this mean? Well, I think it's on the screen behind me. If you turn in your Bibles a few chapters later to Luke chapter 6, we actually get to hear Jesus' own words as he's grown up and he's beginning to preach and to talk to people. And in verses 20, he says this, the words on the screen behind me. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And then he says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will all laugh. Now, is Jesus just talking about rich and poor people? That all the rich people are going to go to hell and all the poor people are going to go to heaven? Not quite. But this passage will help us to understand Mary's prayer a bit better. We can see that the rich are not just those who are rich, although there is some correlation. The rich are those who live for themselves. The rich are those who put the things of this world before the things of God. Or in other words, this is an easy one to remember. The rich are those who make themselves the king of their own lives. The rich are not just the rich, they are the proud. That's what Jesus means when he's talking about the rich. Those who arrogantly put themselves first in their lives. And so on the opposite side, you have the poor who aren't just physically poor, although they might be. The poor are those who realize that they're spiritually poor, that they need the one who made them, who realize they need a savior, and they aren't the king of their lives. They come under the rule and the reign of the real king. So if we bring this back to Mary's prayer, why is she talking about the rich being brought low and the humble lifted up? Well, she's talking about this because we see what this King Jesus will be like and who he is like. That he is a just king who will bring down those who are proud and who turn away from God. And who will bring up those who humble themselves before him. Now, to have a look at Hannah's prayer. So Hannah, for a bit of context, if you're not aware of the story in the Old Testament, she also was unable to have a child. She really wanted one. She was praying to God and asking for one. And God ended up answering her prayer. And she dedicated her son to the Lord. And then she came out with a song, just like Mary. And a few of the verses will be on the screen behind me. And I hope you can see why they look so similar. I've only chosen a few of the verses there. But she begins with praising God. And then she instantly goes to talking about the proud and the arrogant. And how they're going to be brought low. And how the humble will be lifted up. And how the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. Both Mary and Hannah have got something. Both Mary and Hannah have got something. When I was in year 11 and year 12, I was in specialist maths, actually with Tim Allen, who's here, Mr. Allen, as we used to call him, and it used to take me a long time to not call him that, and it's almost natural to me still. But I remember multiple times being in his class, and he would explain a new concept to all of us, right? And there was one person in the class. They would put their hand up, and they would ask a question that would show they've already understood it, right? And I had not. I was way behind. And I honestly think many people in the class were behind as well. So this person, they put their hand up. They got it. They understood it. And I was confused as, and it took me a bit longer to get there, but we ended up getting there in the end. But there was that one person who got it, and everyone else did not. And I honestly think that's a great picture of Hannah and Mary in their prayers. They have got something that the rest of the world has not. They've understood something that the rest of the world, those who live for themselves, with themselves as number one, they've not got. And the thing that they've got is God is a just and merciful king. That God is a just and merciful king. For both Mary and for Hannah, they experienced God's amazing power in their lives. And they realized, right? They realized this God is not only real, but he is who he says he is. He sees all, he knows all, and he's going to judge. That's why they're talking about the proud. That's why they're talking about the humble. Because if you believe this, that God is a just king who sees all, you can't live a proud, rich, selfish life because you know how it will end. And this is why Mary is talking about this when Jesus is being born, because Jesus is this king who God has promised, who will reign forever and ever, who will bring down the proud, those who turn away from God, and will bring up the humble, those who humbly submit themselves to him. So this Christmas, this is a great reminder for all of us to actually have a bit of reflection, a bit of a self-diagnostic. Do you understand this? Do you get it? Now, if you are a believer, you've had a moment. You've had a moment where you realize that, hey, God is the king of the universe. I've turned away from him. I actually am in need of his mercy to me. And we've all had a moment like that. But we still Our old proud selves keep on wanting to rear their ugly head. We keep on wanting to be the kings and queens of our own lives, right? We keep on wanting to do that. And a great question to ask yourself, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning and throughout the week and coming up to Christmas, is actually, what am I? What is filling up my mind? What am I thinking about as we come up to this very busy time of year? Because I think that's when we begin to see where our priorities might be. Maybe you have to organise a ridiculously big family reunion. And you know, it's heaps of effort and you're just trying to get all of the family to come along and it's hard work. Or maybe you've been asked to go to the family reunion and you really just don't want to go. Maybe you're stressing out about trying to get the right present for everyone so they think you're an okay person. Whatever it is, there's a whole bunch of things. Maybe you're going through a big change and next year is going to look very, very different for you. What is filling your mind this Christmas? Because if it is not Him, we need to remind ourselves again. It's kind of cliche, but He's the best gift, as we heard in the kids' talk, we could ever receive. Remember your need. Remind yourself again this Christmas about how much you need Him and about how much Jesus has saved you from. And once again, just humble yourself under Him, under His kingship, and realize the awesome news that every part of your life has actually now come under His kingship, His lordship, and you belong to Him. Now, if this is new to you and you are here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe you're just hearing this for the first time and it's afresh, there's one thing that I want you to walk away from this morning with. One thing. And that thing is that Jesus came to save those who realize they need to be saved. Is that Jesus came to save those who realize they need to be saved. That's what the whole being poor and being rich thing is all about. Elsewhere we see when Jesus talks about the poor, it's poor in spirit, those who realize they need to be saved. And so I would encourage you that this Christmas, this is a great opportunity to actually come to Him, to know Him, to believe in Him, that He has come to bring you back to God. He has come to bring you back to God. So, to cover what we've just been talking about, we have seen that God at Christmas is fulfilling His promise. He's fulfilling His promise of a king, but we also get to see what the king is like, that in Jesus, that God is just and God is merciful. But to finish this off, I kind of want to make this real for each of us here. I kind of want to make this real. Because you may not have noticed, but Mary actually believed the angel. And there is a bit of a contrast here if you know the story between Mary and Zechariah. One believed, one did not. But Mary believed the angel. She went to visit her relative. And then things became real. And that's where we are. That's where the song comes into play. And I have a bit of an illustration for us. If any of you have gone through a big significant change in your life, which I know almost every single one of us here has, whether that's graduating year 12, getting married, having your first child, having your oldest child leave home, like these are all big things, right? And they all usually have a pretty big lead up to each of them. For example, I've got a whole bunch of youth boys who are in year 12, right? And they have known the whole year that this is their last year at school, right? But it wouldn't have felt like it until the very end. For each of them, they would have had a moment, and they might not have even had that moment yet, where they realize, oh man, hey, it's over. Like, we're not going back. That moment might have been the last day of school. That moment might have been the formal night, it might have been the graduation, It might be some random Wednesday evening as they're lying in bed next year, as they're planning, as they feel like, I should be going back to school tomorrow. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I'm not, right? There's a moment where things get real, where things become real. Like, you know in your head, and then you experience it in your life. And I think that's exactly what's happening to Mary here. The angel told her, hey, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be the Son of God. He will be the King that reigns forever. And it becomes more real when she meets Elizabeth and she sees that she too has a baby. And she hears the words from Elizabeth's mouth. Blessed is the one who believes that God would fulfill what he had spoken to her. Now, why am I going on about this? Well, I'm not sure this is exactly from the passage, so feel free to ring the heresy bell. But I think that Mary is a great picture of followers of Jesus. Mary is a great picture of followers of Jesus. In verse 38, we see that Mary believed the angel. She was told this good news, and she believed the angel. Then in the next verse, well, not the next verse, in verse 45, I think when she meets Elizabeth, it was the verse I just mentioned, that she said, blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her, right? And then she praises the Lord. The reason I think this is a great picture of us is because where are we right now? If you are a follower of Jesus, where are you spiritually? Well, we've heard the gospel. We've heard the good news. We know why Jesus came to earth, and we know the promise is that if we believe in him, we will be forgiven and made right with God forever, right? We've been told that, kind of like the angel told Mary. And then we're called to believe the next bit, that if we believe God, we are blessed. And then one day, when this king actually comes back, when we stand before him face to face, we will be saying Mary's words. Things will get real. Things will become real. We all know in our heads, right, that one day Jesus will come back, and one day we will see him, and he will make all things right, and he will reign perfectly, and he'll bring down the proud and raise us up, right? But we won't know that until we experience it for ourselves. It will become real one day. So the thing I want to leave you all with this morning, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, is to remember these things, that God's promised King was born, that he is just and merciful. He grew up and went to the cross for us and rose again from the dead. And now we're called to be like Mary. We're called to believe the one who has spoken to us, that he will fulfill his promise. We're called to humbly obey him, as having him as our king and not us as our king. And we are meant to look forward to the day when we will join with all of God's people from all around the world with Mary's words, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to praise you, Lord, for how merciful you are to each of us. Lord, help us to be poor in spirit. Help us to not be the kings of our own lives. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves under King Jesus and to wait for the day that he will return. Lord, please help us to believe in you even when it's hard, when it may not feel real. Help us to look forward to the day when we will actually be before you face to face, and help us to be ready for that day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.